got to turn myself on here. Here it is. First of all, I want to say happy Father's Day to everybody that is a father. Today is, for me, it's a great day today, Father's Day today, and I got three great kids. Thank the Lord for that. Tomorrow is my 24th wedding anniversary, and I have a great wife, and I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And I also get to preach today. Amen. So I am a blessed man today. I just want everybody to know that. Despite of whatever problems that we have, we always need to look for the blessings that God gives us. And today I just want to share that with you. I feel like I'm a very, very blessed man. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 2 and stand when you get there, please. The title of the message today is Another Generation. Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And the angel of the Lord came upon Gilgag to the Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt and have brought you in the land which I swear unto your fathers and said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words, all the children of Israel, and the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnathheres in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth." Let's pray. Jimmy, will you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. The book of Joshua is right before that, and Joshua had all the people of Israel around him, and he was going over what the Lord had done for Israel again, telling them all the great things that the Lord did, how he brought them out of Egypt, how he parted the Red Sea, how he did all those things for them. And then you go into the book of Judges, and again, Joshua was, and they were told again what the Lord has done for them and how great the Lord was. And then if you read that verse, that another generation, verse 10, after them knew not the Lord, nor yet the works he had done for Israel. And I always, when I read the Old Testament, when I read about the children of Israel, I kind of liken that to America. I liken that to us as children of God, because we follow in the same footsteps as the children of Israel do. We complain, we moan, and we groan, and we forget what God does for us and do all those things that they did. And we always say, well, how could they do that? But we do the same thing. We forget the Lord a lot of times. And I liken the children of Israel to America. I liken what they've done and what God has done for America is kind of like what he did for children of Israel. He gave them a promised land. Well, God gave us Americans America. This land that he created, because God created everything. America is a beautiful land. The promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a great land that God gave to the children of Israel. God gave America to Christians. America is one of the greatest places in the world. Yeah. If you look at America, we have all the things that God created here. We have snow. I know people don't like snow, but we have snow. A lot of places don't have snow. We have rain. A lot of places don't have rain. There's deserts. We have deserts. We have mountains. We have lakes. We have oceans. We have everything that you could ever want here. It's a beautiful, beautiful country that God gave us. The children of Israel followed the Lord. The Lord said, follow me and I'll show you all these things. And they followed his commandments and he did all those things. In America, we used to do that. We were founded on the Word of God. Our founding fathers talked about God all the time. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you see God is everywhere in all the things that are imprinted. Because we went there with Josh a few years ago, and it's amazing because you hear about how they want to get rid of God. But if you go to Washington, God is everywhere in all the different monuments and all the different buildings. There's words that God said, and there's prayers. And if you read what the founding fathers, what they said in their speeches and everything that took place, God was here just like he was in Israel. God was always there. God was always here in America. And I wonder, how does their generation come to be that doesn't know anything about the Lord or the works that he did? Not just they don't know the Lord, but they don't know anything that the Lord did. How does that happen? How does that generation come up and they don't know anything about God? The God that the children of Israel worshipped and they followed. There's three things that the generation before didn't teach them about the Lord. Brother Dave talked about that today. As fathers, it's our job to teach our children who the Lord is. And in the Old Testament, the Lord said, you need to teach your children who I am. Teach them my commandments. So they failed at that. The new generation, they didn't really care what happened back when they were coming out of Israel. Maybe once they got to the promised land, they didn't really care what happened back there. And they didn't really want to listen to what the elders had to say of what they went through and what God did for them. Maybe they didn't really care. They kind of sat there and, okay, tell me your story. Kind of like our kids do today.
Yeah.
Oh, another story?
Right.
Really?
Right.
You know, they don't like to hear what you used to do. They don't really care. Because they're doing what they do. We did the same thing to our fathers, I'm sure. The new generation was too caught up in their new surroundings. In Israel, they were in the promised land. Man, they were in a land flowing with milk and honey. They had all these great things. They were just like, oh, man, this is great. I don't care about what happened back there. And then they started serving the other gods. See, the children of Israel didn't have a choice. There was no other god out in the desert but God. And God was with them all the time. Now, the new generation, they're over here, and there's other gods because they're with these other inhabitants of the land. They started serving the other gods. They're all caught up in this new world. And I liken that to America. There's a generation in America that doesn't know the Lord. Yeah. And it's the same reasons as the children of Israel. It's the same reasons that the people in America don't know the Lord. We have freedom of religion here. We have Bibles galore. We can have a Bible and no one can do anything about it. They want to take them out of school. They say you can't read them, but you're allowed to take your Bible to school. You're allowed to read your Bible in school. They try to fool us into saying you can't do that. But there's Bibles everywhere. There's churches everywhere. There's churches on every corner. There's the Pledge of Allegiance, the Star-Spangled Banner. They all have God in them. And I know they're trying to take it out. But it's been that way since America was founded 200-some years ago. God has always been part of America.
Yes.
So how is there a generation in America that doesn't know the Lord? How do we get to that point of that generation that doesn't know the Lord? The generation, and I hate to say this, I am in that generation that doesn't know the Lord. Although I know the Lord because I'm standing here preaching to you. But my generation doesn't know the Lord. And a generation is 30 to 40 years. The definition in the dictionary is 30 years, but like preacher said, 40 years because they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. So I'm going to go with preacher's definition of 40 years. So it's 30 to 40 years. President Obama is 51 years old. I am 47. I am in his generation. Our country is being ran by a generation that doesn't know who the Lord is. And I came to that realization when I went to a funeral of one of my buddies that I went to school with. And they just had a memorial service. And then I realized when I was going to school, nobody talked about God. Nobody talked about the Lord. Nobody ever told me about Jesus Christ. My family was... My grandma went to church, and luckily I got saved when I was a little kid. We went roller skating, and they gave an invitation, and I got saved during that invitation time. But then I never really went to church after that. Although I was saved, I really didn't know who the Lord was. I didn't. And my story is kind of like Brother Dave's. After I got saved, I lived like a devil. I had a family that didn't go to church. My dad was raised Catholic. He never set foot in a church. I don't believe my mom. I've never seen her in church. So I was raised as somebody that didn't know anything about God. And the generation before, which is my father's generation, he didn't teach me. I don't know if he knew the Lord, but I know my grandmother taught my mother and my aunts They failed in passing down what they knew to me. And I'm not blaming them for that. I'm just stating the fact. The generation before me, and I looked up some of the things that happened during that time. The generation before me were passing the abortion laws, making it illegal to kill babies.
Yeah.
That passed in 1973. I was born in 1966, so the time that I was growing up, these things happened. They passed a law that it was okay to kill a baby. That was the generation that says, make love, not war. That was the hippie movement.
Yep.
Listen to rock and roll music, smoke dope, have sex. That was Woodstock. It was in 1969.
Yep.
There was, I can't remember how many thousands of people went down to this place, and it was a disgusting thing that they did. But that was that generation before me. That's what they were doing. They published the NIV Bible. Guess what year? 1973. The same year as they passed abortion was the first NIV Bible was published in 1973. Women's Lib started in 1970. And people say, well, don't get on Women's Lib. What's it have to do with anything? That took women out of the house. That took away God's plan. God's plan was for the man to go work, the man to take care of the family, and the wife to stay home and take care of the kids and take care of the house. The devil, and you have to understand, the devil was in charge of all these things. The devil is the one that did all this stuff. Although people did it, the devil is the driving force behind it because he wanted to do away with God's plan. Prayer and Bible were taken out of the public schools in 1962 and 1963. Now, all these things happened in a short span of time. My generation and President Obama's generation, all those things were going on when I was growing up. So when I was growing up, like Brother Dave said today, I thought all that stuff was okay. I thought it was okay to kill babies. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I didn't know any better. Nobody. I never read God's word. My parents never taught me that. Nobody ever said it's wrong to kill babies. I thought, hey, killing babies is okay. Drinking's okay. Listening to rock and roll music is okay. My family would buy me alcohol because I wasn't old enough so I could drink it. And it was the same thing as Brother Dave said. Well, just drink it here. You know, just be careful. That was an okay thing to do. That was that generation. That's the people that I grew up with. That's what we did. We had no idea who the Lord was. We didn't know anything about God. And I talk to people and they ask you, has anybody ever witnessed to you? Has anybody ever asked you if you know Jesus Christ? And I say, no, nobody ever has asked me personally, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, I don't care if they ask me that today because I'm already saved. But still, nobody has ever asked that question to me. Nobody ever talked about it when I was younger. And I'm not making excuses for anything. I'm just saying that's where we're at today in America. The generation that is running our country are people like me. They don't know who God is. And we get mad at what they do, but they don't know any better. It's our job, and it was a job the generation before me to teach that generation who the Lord was. Because they knew. That generation knew who the Lord was because the Lord was part of the public schools.
Yes.
They read the Bible in the public schools, so they can't say,
yes.
Well, I didn't know who the Lord was. They knew.
Yes, they did.
So what happened? What happened to that generation? Why is there a generation like me that didn't know who the Lord was? One, they didn't talk about the Lord. Or maybe we didn't really care about the Lord. Maybe we were too caught up in doing what we wanted to do, just like the children of Israel. But that's... The second thing is the generation didn't care how they used to do it back in the old days. Just like I said, we didn't care about the old time. We didn't care about the old days. You hear about the old days, and I think that would, like, Mayberry. How many know who Mayberry is? You know, my kids are like, really, Mayberry? And we tried to watch that one time, and they were just like, come on. We're really not going to watch that, are we? And I grew up watching that stuff. And it was a peaceful time. And it was a time where everybody went to church. I didn't even say anything funny. It was a peaceful time where everybody went to church on Sunday. Businesses were closed. Nothing was open on Sundays because it was the Lord's Day. We all knew that. So why didn't that generation teach my generation that? My family, we didn't care anything about Sunday. Sunday was just another day. Lord's Day, well, I don't even know what that means.
Right.
We did whatever we wanted to do on Sunday. Wednesday, church on Wednesday, what? You ask people today, ask you, do you go to church on Wednesday? Yep. Sunday nights and Sunday mornings, and they're like, that's weird.
Yeah, right.
And I used to think that was weird. I used to be the person when someone would come knock on the door, I'd like, we ain't answering the door. And I would hide. I'm just being honest with you. I did. I didn't want to listen. I didn't want anyone knocking on my door to tell me anything, so I would hide. It could have been someone to try to teach me, tell me who the Lord was. Dummy me, I didn't want to listen to him. But I'm just being honest, because I didn't care anything about God, because that's the way I was raised. The generation that today, the ones that know who the Lord is or have an idea of Christianity, we don't want to do the things the way they used to do it. We don't want to take the old paths. We want to do things our way, because we're smarter than you guys. We're smarter than the older folks. Just so you know, you're not smarter than the older folks. I'm not smarter than the older folks either. They have more wisdom because they live longer. But we want to use different Bibles. We don't want to use this. This is an archaic language. I can't understand what this says. I want to use the NIV Bible because it's in today's modern language. Just so you know, there's 233 different versions of the English Bible. 233. So we have a multitude to choose from. So we're going to start a church and we're going to use a different Bible so we can be hip, so we can get the kids in so they can understand what it's saying. Although that's really not the Bible. It's just a book. We try to say that we're winning people to the Lord and people are getting saved in these churches that use different Bibles. But that's not true. Because the Bible says, the King James Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, how do you get any faith?
Right.
So if they're preaching out of another Bible,
they're
not hearing God's Word.
That's it.
They could say, it can say Holy Bible on it, but that doesn't mean it's a Holy Bible. There's only one. That's God's Bible, the King James Bible. So when they're preaching out of it, they're not hearing God's Word, so they're not getting saved.
Right.
Joel Osteen isn't saving anybody. He could fill a whatever stadium he's in or whatever, 40,000 people can go see him, and they can love Joel Osteen and love his books, but are they really being saved?
That's right.
No. So there's a whole generation that they go to church. We have churches full of people that don't know who the Lord is. That when the rapture happens or when they die, they're going to go to hell. When the rapture happens, they're going to stay here. They're still going to be listening to Joel Osteen. Because he's still going to be preaching during the rapture. And there's still about 40,000 people there. And they'll still love his books and want to know, how do we get better now? And what's he going to say? He's going to blink his eyes like, brother, I can't do it as good as Brother Dave, and say, that's okay, God loves you.
Amen.
Although he left you, you're left behind. But there's churches everywhere that people don't know who the Lord is because they're not being saved. They're not being taught the Word of God. And then even the good churches, the fundamental Baptist churches, we want to have these great big works so we can say, look at how good I am, how good of a preacher I am, how good of a ministry I have. And we say, you know, you got to go out and you got to win souls. And we do. But all they want is numbers. Because we want to win 8,000 souls a week. So we can tell everybody we won 8,000 souls this week.
Right.
So they go out soul winning and they say, okay, how many did you get? And you come back, you go, I got 12. I won 12 souls today in 10 minutes. And we laugh at that, but that's the truth. They push you to get numbers. For whatever reason, the numbers are what's important. Numbers aren't important. Those people that came today, that's important. Because they came and they got saved. Because they came, they heard the Word of God, and they came up and said, we want to be saved.
Amen.
Nobody went to them and knocked on their door and said, hey, would you like to go to heaven? Sure. Okay, say this prayer. You say the prayer. Okay, thank you. See you later. That's one for me. I got them saved. Did you really get them saved? No, you had them say a prayer, but they didn't really mean it. They didn't really mean what they said. They had no idea what they said. You just said, say this prayer and you get to go to heaven. And I'm not going to say, well, I know that they didn't really get saved, because I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I can't look at anybody in this room and say, you're not a saved person. Because I don't know. Only God knows. Only you and the Lord know. So somebody could get saved if you do that, but the odds are they're probably not, because you rushed them into saying the prayer. It's more than just saying the words. But we have such a big rush in our churches today, in these big churches, to get numbers, that we want to be able to promote that we've won 10,000 souls this year to the Lord, to make us look good. But did you really win 10,000 souls? And if you did, where are they at? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Because we're supposed to also teach them the Word of God, not just win them to the Lord. Like preachers say, we need to get them saved and get them to come down the aisle and get baptized, and then get them to join the church so we can teach them about God so they can go and teach their children about the Lord. Just once you get saved, it's your responsibility now to teach people about the Lord. It's my responsibility after I got saved, after I started going to church and learning who the Lord was, learning what God did for me and how great He is and how much He loves me, to teach that to my children. And if I didn't do that, then I failed them miserably. And that was one thing I decided what I was going to do when I had kids, is I was going to teach them what the Bible said. Because I wanted them to know. I wanted them to know who the Lord was. I wanted them to know that there was a God. So they could teach their kids. We failed somewhere in there, because we have churches that we have families, but how many families are there's generation after generation after generation after generation of the same family in church? There's not a lot. You can say, well, my family's here generation after generation. Well, great, I'm glad they are. Mine's not. I'm a first generation. Hopefully mine will continue. But you have to look at yourself. Where did we fail? And as Brother Dave said, are you the ones that are talking about the preacher when you go home from church? Because if you do that, your kids aren't going to be in church for very long. Are you living a Christian life just at church? Are you just being a Christian here and not a Christian when you go home? Because if you do that, your kids aren't going to stay in church either. Because kids look at how you live your life more than how you tell them to live their life. My wrestling coach used to say, do as I say, not as I do. Because he knew he didn't do right, but he said, and he was honest with us, do as I say, not as I do. And that's what we tell our kids. Well, do as I say, not as I do. But we always do what our parents do. My dad smoked, because smoking was cool back then, like Dave said. My dad was the Marlboro man. He had a mustache, too. I inherited it from my dad. He's got the big mustache. He looked like the Marlboro man. And he would smoke Marlboros. And I as a kid, man, I looked up to my dad. I thought my dad was, like Dave said, the strongest man in the world. I looked up to my dad. My dad was a police officer. And I looked up to my dad, and you know, he always smoked those cigarettes. So, needless to say, I smoked them too. Because although I knew I shouldn't smoke them, and I said, I'm never going to smoke, I did. Because I had to picture my dad and how cool he looked doing that. So I smoked. I followed after my dad, but and like Dave said, your kids are going to follow something of what you leave them, good or bad. And it's our responsibility as Christians, no matter, and this is, you can take this however you want, your responsibility as a Christian is to promote the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church, although this is our ministry here, but the ministry of Jesus Christ. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you are representing Christ. So you can say, well, as long as I just do it for my kids, it doesn't matter how I act anywhere else. No, it matters how you act everywhere. Because most people know who you are and what you do, and if you go to church, hopefully they know that. If they don't, then you're a secret Christian, which hopefully you're not. Hopefully people know that you go to church. But how do you act? Are you promoting the ministry of Christ? Are we doing what we're supposed to do for the next generation? And you don't have to have any kids in that next generation. But are you doing what you're supposed to do for the next generation so there's not another generation that arises that doesn't know the Lord? We should tell people who the Lord is and what He's done for us. We should let people know that we go to church. Hey, I go to church. Man, I love going to church. You ought to come sometime. Hey, the Lord loves me. He does all these things for me. We need to tell people that, not be quiet about it. It seems like the only time we ever want to talk to someone is to ask them, if you die. That's the first thing. If you die, where would you go? Not, hey, you know what? You know the Lord loves you. You know the Lord loved me and what He's done in my life. We need to explain to people what He's done for us. And as Brother Dave says, remember where you could have been. I look at my life to where I am today, to where I could have been. It's only by God's grace I'm here. And I need to share that with people more than I do. Because I don't share enough with people how much the Lord, what He's done for me and how much He loves me and where He's brought me. We need to do that with everybody, not just our family. So we need to think, you need to think in yourself, what am I doing for this next generation? What am I doing for them to know who the Lord is? Because if my generation The generation before me didn't teach me. My generation doesn't know the Lord. What are we bringing up? What's coming behind us? The only ones that are going to tell them are us. We're the last hope in America to tell the next generation who God is and what God has done and what book that is truly God's Word. Because there's so many Bibles out there that aren't God's Word, that there's so many kids that are there that go to all these other churches that they have all these other Bibles, but they're not God's Word. So they don't really know who God is. They think they do. They think, well, I'm going to church. Doesn't matter what church I go to. I'm going to a church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm listening to Joel Osteen. I'm listening to whoever. I'm reading this book. I got to be okay. But do they really know who God is? If they don't have God's Word, they can't know who God is. So, and I know people don't like to hear, but we need to tell people about the King James Bible. We need to say, hey, this is God's Word, and it is a fight. And people, and that's the problem today, is we don't want to fight. And that's my next point. Is one of the points is we don't really want to have that that conflict or the controversy of fighting with somebody about what's right and what's wrong. The world and the churches today, we don't want to preach against sin. We don't want to stand up here and say homosexuality is wrong. We don't want to say you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't smoke. We don't want to say those things because people are going to get offended and leave. So we'd rather just say, you know what, God loves you no matter what you do. And He does. He loves you. He hates what you do. But He loves you. But we don't tell people that. We'd say, you know what, it's okay. Whatever you do, just keep coming to church. Keep putting your money in the offering plate. We can keep building a big building. And you can have coffee. We can have all these get-togethers. We can do all these things. We can go on trips and we can have all this fun. But we're never, ever going to talk about sin. Because that gets people angry. That gets people feeling bad about themselves. We don't want you to feel bad about yourself. Heaven forbid. But if you read the Bible, you're going to feel bad about yourself. Because the Bible tells you what you shouldn't do. I don't have to tell you what you shouldn't do. God will tell you that if you read. Come to a church service, you're going to feel, when you come to church, you're either going to feel good or you're going to feel bad. It all depends on if you're listening. I come to church, I feel bad sometimes. Because of the things I've done or the things that I don't do. It's not because the preacher is preaching at me, not because he knows what I do and don't do. It's because the Lord knows and the Lord's speaking to me. So people come to say, well, I hate going to church because all it's talked about is bad things. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to go. Well, start doing right good things and you'll feel good about yourself. Because you can, when he preaches against it, you can say, hey, I don't do that. All right. Yes, one for me. Hey, you need to do this. I am doing that. I had a great day today. I got patted on the back. But churches today, they want you to pat you on the back no matter what you do, because they don't want you to feel bad. Don't preach against anything that's wrong. The third thing is we are so caught up in the world today, we've brought the world into our church.
Yeah.
We're so caught up in, just like the children in Israel, they're so caught up in the promised land. They're so caught up in the things that were going on in the world, they forgot about the stuff over here. We're so caught up in the world, we forget about the things that are in here. We forget about the things that God says. And Brother Dave read this today in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We are so caught up in the world, we don't want anything to do with the Lord. It's hard enough. We have church on Sunday night. Why? That's not in the Bible anywhere. They had church one time on Sunday morning. We should just have a Sunday morning service. Not on Wednesdays. Show me in the scriptures where it says they have Wednesday service. People will ask you that. Which is crazy. I love being in church. And we'll... If you don't love being in church, you need to check your salvation. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and you don't want to come to church, then you've depressed the Holy Spirit so much and you've quenched His Spirit, or you're not even saved. Because the Holy Spirit wants to be around godly things. We love the world so much that we'll not come to church and we'll go to a football game. Because, hey, it's an important game. There's only 8 home games a year. And I got tickets to one of them, so I'm going to this one. Forget church. We laugh, but that's the truth. You know how many people go to football stadiums every Sunday and every Saturday? 80,000 people go, 110,000 people go to these stadiums on Saturday and Sunday. We can't get 100 people to come to church. But they'll go, they'll start out 6 o'clock in the morning, tailgating. Go down to the stadium at 6 o'clock in the morning, man. We're going to start making our kibasi or whatever we do. We're going to have fun. We're going to play the frisbee. We're going to be down there. The game doesn't start till 1. But they're there at 6. But you can't get anybody here for Sunday school at 9:30. That's too early. I'm not getting up for that. I'll just go to church service. But we have thousands and thousands of people filling stadiums because we love the world. Christians too. There's a lot of churches that stopped having Wednesday services. They stopped having Sunday night services. All they have is a Sunday morning service. Because and a lot of churches will say, well, in the summertime, we're only going to have a Sunday morning service. We're not going to have Sunday night. We're going to let our people have a break. What are they having a break from? Because it's excruciating coming to church? You're being tortured? So we're going to give you a break in the summer. You can do whatever you want on Sunday night. We don't want to torture you this summer. And people are, oh, yeah, man, I go to church. We don't have church on Sunday night. Woo-hoo! I wouldn't know what to do. It's funny, isn't it? But that's the truth. And we've invited the world in that we have modern services. Has anybody ever seen that sign on churches? It always makes me laugh. Traditional service at 9:45 or 10 o'clock. Modern service at 11. You know why it's at 11? Because the other ones are sleeping in because they were out partying all night. So they can't get up early to come to Sunday school, so they got to have it at 11. You know what the modern service is? You just listen to music. You come to church, nobody gets up here and preaches. You just listen to the music, and they might have dancers up here doing these little praise dances or whatever they do. That is your church service. That's the modern way to worship. What do they get out of it? They don't know who the Lord is because the music isn't telling them who the Lord is. They're not hearing God's word being preached, so they have no idea. But that's what we want. So that's what we've got to draw them in. We've got to get people to come into our churches. We've got to get them to give us money. And that's what it's all about. Churches, they don't care if you hear God's word. They just want your money. So you come in, listen to music for an hour, then pay us when you leave. That was your entertainment for today. And people are happy doing that. People are okay going to church and not hearing God's word. They're perfectly fine with that. They feel good about it. Hey, I went to church today. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm serving the Lord. Because you went and sat in church, you're not doing anything for the Lord. But they feel good about themselves. We have rock and roll music today in churches because we have to draw the younger generation in. We got to have concerts. We got to have rock concerts in. Could you imagine if I asked preacher, hey, preacher, could we get this band to come in and play so we could attract all these kids? He would probably have a heart attack and die. But I would never ask him that because I would never do that. Amen. But there's churches all over. We wonder, hey, where do these kids go, the teenagers? Where do they go? And we find out, well, they're going over to this church. Well, why are they going to that church? Because that church is doing worldly things. They don't want to come here. Man, you over here, all you preach against sin, you preach against music, you preach against watching TV shows. I like listening to that music. You say, don't get on music. It's important what music you listen to. Yeah. I listened to rock and roll music growing up. I told the kids that today. I didn't know any better. Man, I listened to everything. I listened to some heavy metal rock and roll music. As Brother Dave said, you know, you bang your head. You can't hear yourself think. I did all that stuff. How did that affect my life? If you knew my life before, you'd know how it affected my life. And you could say, well, music doesn't really matter. It does matter. And like Brother Dave always says, if it didn't matter, then just get rid of it. If it doesn't really matter, then you should be able to say, okay, forget it. But it does matter. It has a strong hold on us. And like I told the kids today, no matter what you listen to, You can say, well, I don't even know what the words say, but the words are still getting in your ears. They're still getting in your subconscious. They still get in there, and it still affects who you are inside. Whether you say it does or it doesn't, it does. You can lie to yourself and say, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect who I am as a person, but it does affect you. Right. What you put inside of you is who you are. So the more worldly things you put in here, the more worldly you are, whether you believe you are or you aren't. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate. But we don't want to be separate. As Brother Dave says, we want to be right here. We want to be in it. We want to be in the world and in church. We can't be just all in church. But we're not all in the world, so I'm okay. I'm right here. And I used to be there. I used to be half in and half out. When we first started going to church, we kind of listened to that other music for a while. It's okay. The Lord worked on us. The Lord worked on us. The Lord worked on us. And the more of the world we gave up, the Lord got us closer and closer to Him. And the more things we gave up the world, the closer we got to God. And that's where I'm at. I am at today. And I'm not bragging about myself. I'm saying that's all because of God. Because of God's grace, I am where I am. Because God spoke to me, and I read His Word, and I got put in a good church, and I have a great pastor that taught me God's Word and taught me what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do, and I listened. Only by God's grace I am where I am. But you have to give up the world if you want to move in the direction God wants you to move. And as I always tell the kids, God has a plan for everybody's life. His plan comes from His Bible and His Word, not from the world. God's plan is for you to do what He wants you to do, but He doesn't want you to be in the world. And the more you're in the world, the less He can do with you in His plan. And that's what we got to understand. We need to come out of the world because God has something for us. And I know you got to live in the world, and I know people will argue forever about, well, you have to be in the world, and you have to do this, you have to do that. No, you have to be partakers of this world, but we don't have to enjoy it. And like I told the kids, sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. If sin was something terrible to do, we wouldn't have to worry about it because nobody would want to do it. The world is an enticing place. The world is and the devil's done a great job of that because of all the TV commercials and all the things that the world has to offer us. The lust of our eyes is attracted to that. Just like in the Garden of Eden. The lust of the eyes for Eve was that fruit. It attracted her because she wanted it. And that's what the world does to us. The attraction of everything that the world has to offer draws us that way. And if we're not careful, we're going to start loving the world more than we love the Lord. Yeah. And as parents, and I know this is Father's Day, and you're not supposed to make anybody mad on Father's Day, especially fathers. You can make mothers mad because it's Father's Day. But as parents, we do a disservice to our kids because sometimes we let our kids do more than we should. We let our kids dabble in things that we shouldn't let them dabble in. And I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it because we love our kids. And to the best of your ability, you try not to, but you let your kids do things and then afterwards you say, I shouldn't have let them do that. And we let our kids get drawn into the world and we kind of let them go a little bit. We won't let them go too far. We know that we shouldn't let them go at all, but we do. We think our kids are missing out on stuff if we don't let them do certain things. We don't let them have a little bit of the world. But that's a disservice to our kids. We need to take a stand, especially as men on Father's Day. We need to take a stand and say, no, you're not doing it. And if you have to argue with your wife, so be it. I'm not telling you to argue with your wife, but I'm just saying, as a man, it's your responsibility. And I'll give you an example of me and Jamie had, we were talking, Autumn was going to get earrings. How old was she, 13? Or 8? And I said, oh, I'm a guy, I don't remember. It's a good excuse. 8 years old, she wanted to get her ears pierced. And I said, no, I don't know. I don't think she should get her ears pierced. You know, I think she should wait till she's at least 13. But I caved, like most men do. And you can all say, well, I've never caved to my wife. You have too. We all cave to our wives. If you'd be honest, you'd say, yeah, that's true. You could admit it to yourselves. Because we cave to our wives. So I said, all right. So we took her down. She got her ears pierced. You know what happened? They got infected. She had to take the earrings out. My wife says, you know what? The next time that you go against what you believe, I'm going to smack you. She didn't say that. She didn't say she was going to smack you, but she said, if you believe that she shouldn't get earrings, then you should have stuck to it and said no. And I should have. I should have been a man and said no. Because that's what I truly believed in my heart, that she shouldn't have got them, and I should have stuck to that. And you say, well, that's a stupid example. That's just earrings. I'm just saying, there's all kinds of things that we cave into for whatever reason that we shouldn't. And we're letting our kids dabble into the world, and we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't let our kids, knowing what we know, as Brother Dave says, we've known because we're older. We know what the world does and what the world has to offer and what the world wants to do to our kids as Christians. We know that, but we let them do it anyways. Why? We need, and I love what the Bible says, quit you like men. Stand up and be a man, is what he's saying. Stand up and stand for the Lord and do what this book says. Don't cave. Because we're raising a generation that loves the world so much they don't really, God and, you know, whatever. Christianity is a loose term nowadays. Back in the old days, you knew who Christians were. Back in the old days, you knew who a preacher was, because you would always be wearing a suit and a tie. We go to youth rallies today, everybody's wearing a polo. It drives me nuts. I'm the only one there with a suit. I wear a suit. Craig Wilson, he goes, hey, are you going to own that youth rally? I said, yeah. He goes, you wearing a suit? He goes, I go, yep. He goes, me too. We were the only two in a couple youth rallies that had suits on. And he wore his because I wore mine. The preachers got up there and preached in polos. Because they're bringing themselves down because they say they want to reach the kids. Well, show the kids that you're supposed to be presentable and stand up for the Lord and who you are. You're not part of the world. That they don't. Are they going to listen any different to God's word because you're wearing a polo or a suit? That's just a reason for them not to wear a suit, I think. But that we used to know who Christians were by the way that they dressed and the way that they talked and the way that they acted. We knew who Christians were. Today, it's hard to tell who a Christian is. It's hard to tell when you go somewhere and it's like when we go to youth rallies, it's like, are they Christian kids or are they lost kids or, and they're mixed. And as a youth director, I try to preach standards to the kids of what the Bible says, and the hardest thing for me as a youth leader is when I preach something out of the Bible, then the parents discount it. And I always tell the kids, and it's right or wrong, I tell them, I don't really care what your parents think, because that's what God's Word says. Amen. And if they have a problem with that, then I can't help that. But this is the way it's going to be, because I'm preaching out of God's Word. I'm responsible for what you do in this class. I got to stand before the Lord and give an account. So I'm going to do what I believe to be true in God's Word. I want our kids to look like Christian kids when we go somewhere. I want our kids to act like Christian kids. I want our kids to talk like Christian kids. I want people to know that we are a Christian youth group that has standards, because standards today are gone. Because we don't want to have standards because people get mad at standards. People don't want to have standards. Why do I got to dress a certain way? Why can't you just accept me for who I am? I can accept you for who you are. But why can't you dress the way the Bible says to dress? Why can't you talk the way the Bible says to talk? I'm not telling you, I'm not saying that you're any less of a person, that you're any less saved, but the Bible clearly tells us how we're supposed to live our life. And if we're a fundamental, independent Baptist church, fundamental means we believe fundamentally what the Bible says. So if we believe what it says, then why do we have a problem with what it says? Does that make sense? If we believe this book to be true, all of it, not just parts of it, why do we have a problem with what it says then? Even in a good fundamental church like this, we have problems with what it says. Well, I don't think that's right. That's what God said. Well, I can't speak to God. That's right, you can't speak to God. He already told you. You're supposed to just listen. But and it used to be that way in the old days. And I say the old days, it's not that far ago. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. That's not that far. It's not that long ago that people, you knew who they were. They talked like Christian people. They acted like Christian people. They believed God's word. They did what God's word said. There was a reverence for the church. There's no reverence for the church anymore. And you say, well, that's just a building. This is God's house. This is where we come to worship the Lord. This should be a special place that we give reverence to, because this is where God meets with us. And you say, well, God meets with me anywhere. Well, praise the Lord. But this is where we come to hear God's word preached. So we should have a special reverence for the church. Yeah. And it used to be, nobody would ever do anything at a church that was wrong, because it was God's house. But now, good grief, they robbed your cars from the parking lot here. They didn't care. There's no fear of God. There's no reverence for the church. We come to church and people are... And if you smoke on the church property, God help you. But that drives me nuts. Amen. When people come here, and I understand Amen. They're not saved, but when they come here and they're smoking on the church parking lot, I want to say, would you stop? Yes. You're on a church parking lot. Well, what's wrong with smoking? Smoking is bad for you. Smoking defiles your body. Smoking is a sin. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say smoking is a sin in the Bible, but it says if you defile your body, that is a sin. So it is a sin. That drives me nuts. We went out to the land the other day with the teens. Yesterday, we found a beer can out there on our church property. Disobeyed the trespassing signs. It says future site of Bethel Baptist Church, and somebody's out there drinking into the pavilion. They would have never done that 30 years ago, because there was a reverence for a holy place. But we don't have that because we have a generation that doesn't know who the Lord is or what He's done or what He could do. All these things that have happened, we don't give the Lord any credit for anything. Well, the Lord didn't do that. Who's the Lord? The Lord is the one that controls everything. But the generation, we don't know that. My generation, they have no idea who the Lord is. The Lord is just somebody up there, the man upstairs. That's all he is. He's just a man upstairs. That's one of those things I don't like either. The man upstairs. That's God. But that the generation, I'm talking about that's who he is. He's just the guy up there. I don't know who he is. Could be the man on the moon in their eyes. What are we going to do for the next generation? For one, I know this church is going to preach God's word. They're going to preach against sin. They're going to preach that you should act like a Christian, dress like a Christian, talk like a Christian. You shouldn't do certain things. Homosexuality is wrong. Sex before marriage is wrong. And I brought this up today. They have a pill now, the day after pill, that you can buy without your parents even knowing, that you can get it over the counter. So if you have sex, you just take this pill. And if there happened, and if you did conceive, it would kill the baby right away. So now you can have an abortion without even going to an abortion clinic. You just go to Kmart and get it over the counter. That's where we are today. But we're going to preach in this church, and I preach to the kids all the time, you shouldn't even touch a girl or a boy before you get married. Amen. And I know I get parents mad at me when I say that you shouldn't date. But you shouldn't date until you're ready to be married. Because what are you going to do? And we let our kids date because we think it's okay. But we're setting them up to fail. Because when you start dating, and you all dated before, right? If you're married, I'm sure you dated. What did you do? We need to think, well, what did I do? I don't want my kids dating. Because I know the thoughts that went into my head. I don't want them in their head. But today, it's... We went to a youth rally and we had a guy get up there and say, who all dates? And I looked at me and Jamie, looked at each other like, no, he didn't. Come on, dating's fun. And I was just like, oh. He just discounted everything I talked about because he was saying dating was cool, dating was okay. But and that he was trying to be cool with the kids and say it's okay to date. It's okay to date when you're ready to get married. As far as I know, you really can't get married until you're 18. So there's the line right there. That's the age. Autumn can't date till she's 40. But we failed as a generation because we let our kids do all these things, even as Christians. We let them date. We think it's okay to date. It's really not that bad. Come on. They're good kids. Yeah, they're good kids, but they're still sinful kids. They still have sinful thoughts. Don't set them up to fail. What are you going to do? Not what are we going to do as a church? Because as a church, we're going to go out and witness. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to do all the things that we're supposed to do. But what are you going to do individually to help this next generation? What are you going to do individually as a parent to help your children? What are you going to do yourself personally to help the next generation not be another generation that doesn't know the Lord? That's what we got to ask ourselves. That's what you got to ask yourself. What are you going to do? And you say, well, I'm old, man. I can't do anything. I'm an old widow. I'm 75 years old. What can I do? You can talk to the kids. Tom and Annie, they go to the mission still, right? How old are you, Tom? 81 years old, goes on a mission and preaches. And you kids, you need to listen to the older folks. Listen to what they're telling you because they have wisdom. And they'll tell you what the Lord did in their life. And they'll tell you what America, how it used to be. And you say, well, I don't care how it used to be. I'm living in today. But you got to know how it used to be to know how good it was. Because we live in a sinful, wicked world today. Listen to the older generation. One thing my wife always says, she loves talking to older folks. People say, well, that's just weird. Whatever it is, she loves talking to older people. She loves talking to her grandma and grandpa when they're alive. But she loves talking to your mom. She loves to hear what they have to say and the stories that they tell. We miss out on that generation. We don't do that. It used to be kids would sit down and listen to their grandma and grandpa. I didn't really have a grandpa that would tell me stories like that. So I don't have that, you know, I don't have that experience. But if you do, then maybe you need to pass that down to your kids and or your grandkids and talk to them and tell them. But there's something that every one of us can do to help the next generation. You got to figure out what it is. And there's maybe 75 people in here. You say, well, how are we going to change the next generation? We can change as many as 75 people can change it. We can only do what we can do, but we can do something. What are we going to do for the next generation? Preacher?